Hi, this is Steve Robbins. Welcome to the Get It Done Guy podcast. I'm here today with Stefan Spencer. He is the author of, or the co-author of The Art of SEO, a 1,000-page tome that tells you everything you could possibly ever need to optimize your website. He's also the co-author of Social E-Commerce and the author of Google Power Search, because once things are in Google, you need to get them back out again for them to be useful. Welcome, Stefan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, your most recent book, the reissuing and updated version of Google Power Search, is all about how to find information. I had the weirdest thing happen 2 days ago. Is I went down to my front entrance hall, and sitting there was the Yellow Pages. And I haven't seen a Yellow Pages in about 10 years. And I looked at it, and my reaction was not, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with that? My reaction was, yay, finally I'll be able to find stuff again. And that reaction really surprised me, but I've come to realize that very often when I'm searching for things, I don't necessarily get the results that I want. I don't get the amount of choice that I want. You know, if I'm searching for a product, I always end up with a link to Amazon. And if I'm searching for a book, I end up with a link to Amazon. And if I'm searching for anything else, I end up with a link to Walmart. But weirdly, at least for me, the internet, initially, it might have increased choice, but now it seems like it's really reduced my choices. And I'm curious as to, is this just because I'm searching the wrong way? What's going on?
Yeah. Google wants to provide a pretty safe answer. And driving people to Amazon for any kind of transactional search makes a lot of sense for the average searcher because they're not that sophisticated. So if Google can kind of dumb it down to the lowest common denominator, then fantastic. Most people are served. But you're not the lowest common denominator. You have more sophisticated tastes when it comes to your search results. So just getting Amazon and Walmart and Wikipedia all over and over and over again is not what you're after, right? So then you have to get a little more sophisticated with your searching.
Cool. So now, I'm sure that everyone who listens to this podcast, all of us are sophisticated, at least we're sophisticated in the sense that we do want to use the internet to expand our choices and to be able to get what we really want, you know, not just the easy, safe result, because let's be honest, if you want the easy, safe result, don't bother searching, just go straight to Amazon or to Walmart or whatever. So what kinds of things have you found work best via search versus things like the Yellow Pages or going straight to a website or whatever? Like, when would we know that we're really in a situation where if we know how to search, we can do awesome and amazing things that we can't do otherwise?
Yeah, well, it's going to depend on your type of content that you're trying to dig up. If you're looking for how-to videos, then YouTube is the place to go. Incidentally, YouTube is the number two search engine. It's not Bing, it's not Yahoo. It's YouTube. So if you're looking for products to buy and you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you might as well just go straight to Amazon. But if you want the selection in front of you of all these different major search sites, YouTube, Amazon, of course, Google, why not also throw in Bing and Yahoo in the mix as well? Maybe answers.com, Wikipedia. Then you could use a tool, a free tool called Soovle, SOOVLE.com. You just go there and you start typing your keystrokes in. And you know how the autocomplete works with Google. As you're typing keystrokes in to the search box, it gives you some suggestions that you can choose from. Well, imagine getting those same suggestions of autocompleting, but not just from Google, but also from all of those search services simultaneously.
Yahoo, so you're getting the combined intelligence of all of these.
Yes. And you can click on any of those search suggestions and go straight to the search result page from that search engine immediately. So it's very handy and it's so straightforward. Anybody can figure it out.
Cool. Okay. So to begin with, Soovle liberates us from being held captive by a single search engine.
Yes.
Which itself, I've always found interesting that people assume that whatever search engine they use is giving them all of the results. And I'm like, there's no reason to think that at all. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it's not giving you because it's not giving it to you.
Yeah. And then there are going to be times where you're using a search engine like Google and you're getting results that aren't actually results. You click on it and darn it, if that's not a 404 error, I really needed that article and it's gone. Well, there's a little secret there that not that many users know about, surprisingly, and that's the Google cache. So you just hit the back button, go right back to the search results where you found that search listing that you wanted. Click on the little down arrow, the green down arrow, choose the word cached, just click on that, and it'll take you to the version of that page, that article or whatever, that Google stored in its database. So you can get back in time to the version that was still alive, even though it's now dead or removed off of the website. Off of the website that you just had visited. So that's a nice little handy trick too.
That's a very handy trick. I have, in fact, just a couple of days ago, I was doing a search for something and I clicked on the thing and it was like, page not found. I'm like, how could the page not be found? It was in the search results. And, you know, and I guess what that means is the search results found it the first time, but for whatever reason, it got removed and Google hasn't yet recrawled the page to fix it.
Right. Or maybe Google is waiting for that page to come back because it thinks, maybe they just made a mistake and we'll just keep it alive in the search results for a period of time and see if it comes back and eventually it'll remove it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned Bing and Yahoo and you've mentioned Google. I know that there are multiple ways of searching these days on all of these. You can search by text, you can search by images. Can you give us an idea of what is the universe of ways to search? Because I know in your book, which I had a chance to browse it, but unfortunately I wasn't able to read it all in great depth, there are a ton of options that no one knows about. And which can help you refine a search or which can help you get better search results. How can you give us an idea of like what are your top two or three favorites? And then we'll talk about. But I'll tell you what we'll talk about after we cover this.
Okay, awesome. So one of my favorites is the reverse image search capability of Google Images. So you just go to images.google.com, and instead of typing in a text-based search query, you upload an image, or you can paste in a URL of an image that's already on the internet. So let's say, for example, reading a magazine and you see a picture of Kim Kardashian and you think, those are a beautiful pair of shoes that she's wearing. I wonder where I can buy those myself. So you take a photo with your phone of that picture of Kim. You upload it to Google Images using the reverse image search capability. In other words, where you see the search box, there's a little camera icon at the end of that search box. You click on it, and then it gives you two options. One is to provide a URL of an image that's already on the internet somewhere, or you can upload an image. So you upload that image of Kim Kardashian wearing those cool shoes. Now Google finds that image and similar images on the internet, and lo and behold, you'll very possibly, hopefully, find those shoes on some e-commerce site that you can buy.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay. Yep. So I'm going to go
cool.
Upload images. Yeah, that's really neat. Okay, nice. So if I want to find something, this is a broad question, but if I want to find something, what are the things that are going to increase my chances of being able to find it? Because it's pretty clear these days. There was a time when, once upon a time, a long time ago, I had read an article about how to do something in HTML. I was working on my website and I needed to know how to put an image in HTML. And I just typed in image HTML into a Google search box, and I got back this amazing article that gave me every single thing that I needed. That was like 8 years ago. And then a couple years ago, I just typed in image HTML to try, because I remembered that article. I really wanted to find it again. But this time what I got was a really crappy site with poor information that somehow had just gotten higher search results than the first one. And I kept thinking, if only I had some idea of how to search better, because just image and HTML is so broad that it ultimately got hijacked by this complete non-site. What do I do to increase my chances of really getting some higher quality stuff back when I search for stuff?
Yeah. So let me just kind of provide more context around why this problem even existed, and then I'll give you some solutions. So 8 years ago is an eternity. And you remember the cartoon from early days of the internet, on the internet, Nobody Knows You're a Dog, right?
Yes.
So that was in dog years, like bazillions of years ago, right? In dog years, that cartoon came out from the New Yorker in like 1990, whatever, which is forever ago. It's like thousands of years ago, like in internet years. So 8 years ago, when you did that search and you got results, it was a different world back then. We had very few results to choose from comparatively to today. There's massively more pages that are out there on the internet. And Google has gotten massively better at indexing what is out there. So not only Google is crawling a lot more and indexing it, meaning it's putting it in a big database, but it's also seeing a lot more content that didn't exist back 8 years ago. So when you think about all of the trillions with a T of URLs that are in Google's index, that's a lot to choose
from.
Yeah. Yeah. So we didn't have that problem 8 years ago. So you need to just refine your search query. So we need to get better at finding that needle in the haystack with the words that we type into Google. And that might include, for example, a search operator like site colon or file type colon. Like, let's say that you're searching for, I don't know, a business plan. Just typing in business plan is not going to get you what you're after. Let's say you want an example of a real business plan. Typing in the word business plan is a terrible idea because you're going to get all these templates. You're going to get articles about how to write a business plan, et cetera, et cetera. But you want an actual real business plan. Well, if you type in business plan and then file type colon DOC,
so file type FILETYPE colon?
Yep, DOC for Word doc, or file type colon DOCX, because that's the newer version of Word documents, you're going to find probably a lot of actual business plans, because most business plans are written in Word, I would say. Maybe they're saved into a PDF format, so you could do file type colon PDF and find some there too, but you're also going to find articles and term papers and things like that that are PDFs and talking about business plans and not actually being the business plan. So this is a refinement trick that will find you actual real business plans. Might as well throw in the word confidential in the search query too. And as a bonus, you'll get confidential business plans that they never really meant to get into the public consumption and show up in Google. But stuff ends up in Google, even though you didn't think it would, from, let's say, you stick something in a kind of a private tucked away area of your website and Google finds a way to get to it, puts it in its index, and then now just one search query away. I've even found not just confidential business plans, but also I've found Forrester research reports that cost thousands of dollars normally just with a Google search. I've found even credit card numbers in Google, like files full of credit card numbers and expiration dates. And no, that's not in the book.
Wow. And this, so there's a couple things here. One is, it sounds like I thought Google mainly just indexed HTML files, but it sounds like it's indexing a lot more these days.
Oh yeah. It's indexing videos. It's indexing audio and like Word docs, PowerPoints, Excel spreadsheets, PDFs, of course, tons of different formats. And it's extracting a lot of that out and putting that into what it calls the knowledge graph, which is it's a database of entities. It's not just web pages. It's not just URLs and the content contained. No, Google's actually extracting bits of information off of the web pages, out of videos, out of audios and so forth, and putting those into a database. So for example, if you were to type into Google, how to tango, the first result you're going to get isn't a blue link to some website to learn how to tango. No, it is a video result. So it's a featured video with the portion of that video already identified. You can just jump right to it and learn how to tango instead of watching the whole video.
Wow. The computer scientist in me is absolutely amazed at that. And the civil libertarian in me is going, I can imagine a lot of ways that it could be problematic to have one company having all of this information.
Yeah.
But that's another topic.
Yeah. And also, if you think of Google kind of like Facebook and Twitter and all that, they want to keep you, the user, in their ecosystem. So if they can provide the answer without you even leaving their page, hey, that's more money for them. So just like Facebook right. wants to keep you in their ecosystem and not clicking off and ending up on some article on some other website, they want to keep you watching the videos natively within Facebook and you know, all that great content within Facebook. Google wants to do the same thing. And so this is a way that they can accomplish that.
It sounds like you mentioned the confidential business plan, and my brain is just going back to there, especially the word confidential. It sounds like there's a lot of stuff that you can find here that you wouldn't necessarily think about it. So let's say you're hunting for a job and you want to find some sort of salary data, maybe for a specific company, maybe for a specific region, but something more than just going to salary.com or one of the specific websites that claims to have this. What kind of searches would you try and why?
Yeah, so well, there's lots of different places where you're looking for jobs these days, like Indeed.com and maybe even Craigslist and ZipRecruiter and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I would first start by finding a job specific or job related search engine, like a meta search or engine that combines all of those job boards together into one search. So now I'm getting, again, refinement. I'm not having to type in a bunch of site colon queries. Like I could do that. I could say, well, I'm looking for rocket scientist jobs. So I'm going to type in rocket scientist site colon ziprecruiter.com. Okay. So now I'm searching just within ZipRecruiter for rocket scientist. I could do that. But I don't just want to look at ZipRecruiter. I want to look at Craigslist. I want to look at, you know, Indeed.com, et cetera. So I could do site colon, not just ZipRecruiter.com, but site colon ZipRecruiter.com and then a space and then or in all caps and then a space and then site colon Indeed.com and then a space and then or and in all caps and then a space and then site colon Craigslist.org. And now I'm searching all three sites simultaneously from Google. But even better, if let's say there are 50 of these job boards out there and somebody has identified all 50 and created a specific topical search engine of those 50 websites. I mean, that's not mm-hmm. a Google power search tip. That's just another search engine that you would use, but that can be very effective. By the way, with these site colon queries with Google, it's really so powerful. Let's say that you wanted to find inspiration from a competitor. Let's say you're writing, I don't know, some viral article for your blog, and you're trying to get inspiration from BuzzFeed because they're the king of viral content, right? Stuff that ends up sucking you in, like, and number three will blow your mind, and it never does. But you're looking for that inspiration right. of what to write that's going to be really clickbaity. So you just type in whatever your topic is. Let's say it's, I don't know, rocketry. So you type in rockets and site:BuzzFeed.com. And now you're getting all these articles back that are about rockets just on BuzzFeed. And let's say that you're want to getting even more specific, again, refining. So we want articles really about rockets and not just tangentially about it kind of in passing. So we want rockets in the title, in the headline of the article. So we type in the same site:BuzzFeed.com, but we're going to add now in title : rockets. So now we're finding articles that are all about rockets because it's in the title and it's only on BuzzFeed. So that's pretty slick too.
Wow, I didn't realize that you could narrow things down so directly. Do you have to give a specific URL when you do site:?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah, you have to give
so
a domain. No, actually, like... I'll take that back. You can leave off the domain portion and just specify the TLD, the top level domain, like EDU or gov or UK or FR, right, for France.
Okay, so if I'm looking, one of the things I like to do is some of my tips are really heavily based on research, maybe research into psychology or research into productivity, and I want to find the research that around a certain topic. I could just do site:EDU, and at the least that would narrow it down to academic sites which might have research on them, or is there a better
way? There's an even better way. That's a great idea. I like that idea. How about using Google Scholar, which is only peer-reviewed journal articles. So that's one of Google's search engines. They don't just have Google. As you know, we discussed Google Images a few minutes ago and doing a reverse image search. They also have Google News. And by the way, you can actually do a Google News alert, set that up, and it will and Google will email you and let you know if there is a new article showing up in the news on whatever the topic is, like your company name or your personal name or whatever industry you're in or whatever. You just put that keyword in as the Google News alert. You can also do a Google alert, just a general Google alert, and any Google result that's new that is at the top of the results and on page one will show up in your email box saying, hey, there's a new article about Stephen Spencer. You might want to check it out. That's pretty cool.
Well, you know, that would be really high volume, but how do I set one of those up? That sounds super convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. So the easiest way to find anything, of course, is just to Google it. So you could just Google for Google alerts, or if you want to go directly there, it's just google.com/alerts. And if you want to do a Google News alert, then again, you could just Google it, Google News alert. Or Google News Alerts. But yeah, it's just google.com/alerts. And then you can choose whether it's a regular web search result alert or it's a news alert. And you can even choose within sections of the news and say, I'm really into science news or sports or entertainment or whatever. You can choose within there and narrow it down. So that's pretty darn awesome. And but back to this idea of you're looking for something that's more scholarly. Yes, you could use the site:EDU refinement to your query. But if you just go to Google Scholar, which is, again, one of their search engines, so that's scholar.google.com. There are two radio buttons there, one for articles, like journal articles, and then the other one is on case law. So if you're into, like, if you're a legal beagle, hit that radio button and do your query in Google Scholar, and you'll be blown away.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know about any of this. So nice. I'm gonna go check out Google Scholar and the law one. That gives you legal cases or legal opinions or what? Google Scholar, you said, gives you peer-reviewed journal articles.
Well, it also
gives
you case law. So that's an option within Google Scholar that didn't exist.
Okay.
It's a newer feature of Google Scholar. So being able to search either the articles or the case law. Yeah.
Very cool. I am looking, we are pretty much out of time.
Oh my goodness.
And I get the feeling you have got probably like 10,000 other good tips for us, but this has been a lot.
I do.
Okay. So let's wrap it up with, if there is one thing that people should know about how to search that they probably don't know, that they should walk away from this with, just going, okay, I'm going to use this one thing. Like, this is going to make my life awesome and amazing and incredible. What's the one thing that you would most recommend to somebody that they walk away with in terms of improving the quality of their search results?
Use quotes. Like, use the quotes, above apostrophe, you know, you got the quote character.
Yeah, the double quotes.
Use it.
Okay, wait a minute.
So let's say that...
How?
Let's say you're searching for business plans. Don't just put in business plans. Put in, quote, business plans, end quote. And now you're getting the phrase business plans and not just the word business somewhere in the document and the word plans somewhere in the document. Again, Google is pretty smart at figuring out what your intent is. So you don't have to be a sophisticated searcher, but if you are, take advantage of it. Do the ninja stuff we've been talking about, especially using quotes. Like, for example, if I'm looking for marketing plans or business plans in the apparel industry, I'll put in quotes, marketing plan, and then capital O, capital R for like the or, and then in quotes again, business plan. So I'm looking for a marketing plan or a business plan. And then I'll put in the word apparel after that. And then I'll do capital or, and then I'll do clothing, and then I'll do another or, and then I'll do clothes. And I'll find all these marketing plans or business plans related to the apparel industry and not have to leave it to chance that Google has figured out that, oh, this clothing line that has uploaded their business plan, but they've called it a marketing plan. I just want to like take the helm and let and just drive and let Google do what it does in the background of like matching up exactly what I want to find, and instead of it trying to figure out what my intent is.
Got it. Now, you gave a whole bunch of different operators in that. You said or a couple times and so on. Can you use parentheses so that Google knows which ones you want to do? Because I can imagine if you said marketing plan and apparel or automotive, I don't know if that means marketing plan and apparel, so both of those two together. And then also, it also has to be automotive, or if it's marketing plan that is about apparel and automotive.
That's a great question. Things. And unfortunately, the parentheses are not supported. They don't help. You won't get an error back. They'll be ignored by Google. But if you don't put an or in there, and by the way, another alternative to using the or word is the pipe symbol. So either one is the same.
The pipe symbol.
So marketing plan and then pipe symbol and then business plan with each of those in quotes will be the equivalent of an or in all caps. So if you are not using ors, then it's implied that those are ands. So if I say, let's say that I put in to Google without quotes, marketing plan, business plan. Google's going to look for more word marketing and the word plan. I put plan in there twice. Google's just, it's the same thing, just put it in there once. So marketing plan and business, all three of those words should appear in the document somewhere. Doesn't mean that it's a business plan. Doesn't mean that it's a marketing plan. Just those three words are appearing in the document, probably more likely together, because Google is trying to figure out what your intent is. If I do an or, let's say marketing and then or business plan, now we're getting a little better because we're saying it could be marketing or it could be business, but I want a plan because that plan is that's an and implied because we didn't do an or, right?
Okay. And the or happens first because it's first in the line.
So whatever words, whatever word is on either side of the or, that's what gets ored. So this or that, and then you could have other keywords, and that's not part of the or. You could have, keywords before the this or that, and that is not, those are all anded. They're not ored. It's just the word before and the word after the or. But if you have a phrase in quotes, then that's what gets ored. So that's more, again, you're getting more precise. You're getting more sophisticated with your searches. So if I want either a marketing plan or a business plan, it's so much better to say marketing plan in quotes and then capital or, and then business plan in quotes. See how that works rather than
cool
marketing
yep.
or business plan? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Because it's only going to get them with the words. And if it's only going to get it, if the word is actually marketing plan or if the word is business plan, it's not going to get something that talks about, I love marketing and I also like to plan vacations.
Yeah.
Which if you didn't put it in quotes, it might get that because that sentence has both marketing and plan in it, but it's not talking about a marketing plan. Yeah.
So quotes are your friend. double quotes.
Cool. All right, everyone. Remember that quotes are your friend. Stefan Spencer is also your friend. So, Stefan, where can people find you and your books and your knowledge?
Thank you. Yeah, so stefanspencer.com is my primary website, and I've got tons of resources. I have a whole learning center on that site, a lot of stuff about SEO in there, about how to get to the top of Google with your website. I also have two podcasts, marketingspeak.com. is the podcast all about marketing and the podcast about optimizing your life and your biology and your mindset and all that. That is getyourselfoptimized.com. And the Google Power Search Book has its own website called powersearchbook.com.
Excellent. And I also want to point out that Stefan is spelled
S-T-E-P-H-A-N.
All right. So it's Stefan with a PH, not with an F. So S-T-E-P-H-A-N, Stefan Spencer, thank you very much for joining us. And we will see you at the top of our search engine rankings.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.